Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
Hello, it's Monday, 11th of September, and my name is Agnieszka Homańska. I'm here today with Adam Jasser, Deputy Managing Editor of Visegrad Insight. Hi, Adam.
Hello.
And we would like to start with the most topical issues in the EU, and I think also globally, but touching on the EU. Adam, the United States, EU allies, India and Saudi Arabia agreed to launch something that is seen as a challenge to China's Belt and Road Initiative, therefore the India-Middle East-Europe Economic Corridor. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Well, it's a complex issue, but the bottom line seems to be that, you know, for the past decade or slightly more, China has been pushing its Belt and Road Initiative that aimed to sort of push investment in the global South countries and also in Eastern Europe, in the Balkans, for example, as some kind of a Chinese way of becoming influential and boosting economic ties with different developing countries. And of course, in China's mind, this was a way to sort of counter the Western influence, counter the US influence. That program has become very controversial. It put many countries into debt. Its successes are not spectacular, to say the least. And now, you know, with the world in this really rebalancing phase, we see that India is more and more trying to counter the influence of China, its rival, its regional competitor. So India, for you know, the whole point of this G20 meeting in New Delhi for India was to show that it's capable of building an alternative center, an alternative path for multinational cooperation. And it got the US on board. It got the Western Europeans, the European Union on board, and some Middle Eastern countries. So this is a very interesting initiative. And it's hard not to put it in a wider context of the US and its allies, democratic allies, trying to contain China's sometimes aggressive approach to the other parts of the world.
Indeed. And speaking about democracy, I think now we should move a little bit more to the Central Eastern European countries. We have Slovakia, which is going to have its elections on the 30th. And of course, Poland, more or less 30 days till the parliamentary election. Last Saturday was a very, very interesting day for almost every party and the voters, because both the biggest opposition party, Civic Coalition, has its revealed of program together with PIS, so the governmental parties. On exact the same day, also Poland 2050 with the People's Party, so-called Third Way, had its Congress, its meeting, and the left. What has been pretty interesting is that a civil coalition with this program that it revealed decided to put forward 100 things that can be changed within 100 days of ruling of new rules. First of all, it was about the Polish relations with the EU partners, of course, and blocking the EU funds, but also many questions rose about the abortion laws, in vitro school, and the reform of educational system, but wages wages for teachers, for people working in beauty parallels. One point that I really, really liked, because I think nobody really talks about it in Poland, is about culture and artists and about the taxation for artists. Right now we can see in Polish media, especially on Twitter, how the government and the ruling party and the opposition is trying to fight one against each other, commenting on those points. Some of them are actually not really possible to be completed within 100 days, but it was in general pretty interesting to watch what was happening. And of course, last week was also all about our MFA and visas. Which was also a big topic for the biggest opposition party. So the Civic Coalition with a spot commenting on how our officials agreed to sell visas for immigrants, for people coming from Middle East, Asia and Africa. And this spot was widely criticized by the left, but also within the party, some of the probably more left MPs criticized the narrative rather, because the narrative was not actually against refugees and migrants, but it was against the narrative used by the government. However, you know, sometimes you can try to do something better, but it actually appears to be not that good.
Right. Well, migration is certainly a very hot topic in Poland, but also in Slovakia. You mentioned elections in Slovakia. In the last few weeks, Slovakia has experienced an increased number of migrants that are trying to cross its border with Hungary. And it's not entirely clear where is this wave coming. Some media has speculated that Hungary has released 1,400 people smugglers from prisons, and that, you know, this has brought back the subject of illegal migration track going through the Western Balkans from the Middle East, and that's of course playing in the election campaign there. As you said, you know, elections are just a few weeks away in Slovakia. And the similarity with Poland is that migration is also a big topic, but another similarity is that it seems that there's no clear winner yet in both countries. Opinion polls show the ruling party in Poland, Law and Justice, may struggle to win the third term and certainly don't look like they will get a majority. In Slovakia, the political scene is also divided, and there is a prospect of a hung parliament there too, with ex-Prime Minister Robert Fico leading the polls, but not enough to form a coalition, and he may be forced into some uneasy coalitions with really radical nationalist parties. So in both countries, the situation is a bit febrile, and of course that makes the debate and the campaigning harsh. So, you know, in Poland, the opposition is obviously trying to turn the tables on the ruling party and expose its hypocrisy over migration, because scaring people with migrants from the Middle East has been very topical for Law and Justice for the past 10 years or even more. And now it seems that their own foreign ministry orchestrated a scheme where they would allow hundreds of thousands of work migrants from the Middle East, from Asia, into the country. And this was not visible, except in some European statistics, and except on the German border, where the hundreds, if not thousands, of such migrants suddenly appear, trying to make it to Germany. So, you know, there is an official investigation into that, but the ruling party is trying to deflect attention from this. What is more important is probably what you mentioned at the beginning of this section, that is that all the parties presented their programs, and the main opposition party came up with these 100 proposals for the first 100 days, which is interesting because so far the party was very reluctant to show their cards, given that you know, Law and Justice could just pick some of these ideas. And this was a frequent accusation against the opposition. They don't have a program apart from criticizing Law and Justice. Well, you know, they managed to combine the two because they came up with some suggestions that are novel, some suggestions that have already been made. But overall, the interesting part is that it's, you know, for a party which is a bit on the center, right center, some of these proposals seem to be rather left leaning. So, You mentioned abortion rights, you know, they were severely restricted under the current government. So here there is a univocal declaration that this is going to be liberalized if the opposition wins. Of course, it promised to repair relations with the EU and unblock funds. It also promised to lower taxes for low income earners, including pensioners, which is interesting because pensioners in their majority are the power base of the ruling party. So they're attacking where it hurts. And on top of that, they offered pay increases for teachers, you know, which is a neglected constituency, and general public services have been severely hit by the fall in real wages. So the opposition is trying to sort of outmaneuver law and justice in some of their core constituencies. Interestingly, the party also promised to put several current government officials, including Central Bank Governor Adam Glapiński and Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki, before this so-called state tribunal, which is a special tribunal to investigate abuses of power. And this, of course, has to do with the fact that that some of these officials stand accused by the opposition, but also some independent analysts of serious abuses of power during the last 8 years. Law and justice, in contrast, seems to be a little stuck with new narratives. So they're sticking to their main guns, like saying that the opposition is really steered from abroad, and some of the promises they made, they look a bit stale, and journalists were very quick to discover that some of the proposals that appeared in their manifesto, such as meals at hospitals or school trips funded by the state.
Yeah, they have like eight points for eight things.
Yeah, exactly. These proposals have already been either implemented or promised many years ago. So, of course, the natural question is, well, you know, why are they promising it now rather than implementing their earlier promises?
But I really like the narrative when they are trying to say, yes, when we are going to be in power, we will change it. Actually, they've been in power for the last 8 years. So, you know.
Yeah, it's a typical advantage of the opposition. They can say, we're the party of change. And law and justice itself, this is exactly how they won in 2015. They were promising change, and they delivered the change slightly different than what they were promising,
indeed,
and people were surprised. But this is how it's shaping. The bottom line is, the judgment is still out. We're still 5 weeks ahead of the election, and a lot can change in the last few weeks. The dynamic seems to be favoring the opposition, but we also have to remember that the Polish elections are not taking place on a level playing field, because the government controls state media completely, which is just a propaganda tool for the government, and they basically spend their time smearing the opposition. So it's an uphill battle for the opposition, and it's an uphill battle also for the ruling party, which seems to be bereft of new ideas.
Yes, well, the program here is actually secondary, and for the upcoming weeks, we will witness rather a game of mobilization among the voters who are hesitant right now. They constitute around 30-40% of the voters, rather than really trying to play with in the program. So it's rather about asking who can vote for us than really trying to show that the change is upcoming.
You're absolutely right. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't win elections, you lose elections.
That is so true. Adam, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.